You're listening to The Brighter Life Show with your host, natural health practitioner, Dr. Leslie Berkland, and the Brighter Life Institute founder and vibration expert, Nicholas Brighter. Topics span from holistic lifestyles, meditation, natural medicine, spirituality, and finding your joy. Here at The Brighter Life Show, we want to hear from you. Call us at Trim Radio Network and ask questions or share your most uplifting story. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Life Show. My name is Dr. Leslie Berkland, and I am here with Nicholas Brighter from the Brighter Institute. Hi, Nick. How's it going?
How's it going, Leslie? I'm doing well. Glad to be here.
It's going as good as it's going.
Forgot my line.
There's no line. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Whatever comes in our head is what comes out of our mouth. So.
Uh-oh, the spotlight's on me.
Oh, no, I knew. So today is going to be a really interesting episode here on Trim Radio, the Trim Radio Network, which is 100% veteran owned. That kind of plays into what we're going to be talking about today. And our main subject is trauma.
Ooh, trauma.
I know, trauma or anxiety, maybe just even some fears. But some of the techniques that we're going to be talking about are important for trauma. And so what I'm doing is a technique called the movie theater technique. It's also known as the cinema technique, also known as rewind therapy, which is...
Okay. I haven't heard that one.
Rewind is what the NLP community, they prefer the rewind therapy because it's very much like the technique that I'm going to describe, with the exception of they just switch it up a little bit. Rewinding,
oh,
like you're...
I get it, because you might be actually doing a rewind in I get it now.
Yeah.
It'll make sense.
Yes,
I think, for
once
the viewers,
I explain.
Once we go over it.
Now, first, I want to just talk about, this is for people that have post-traumatic stress syndrome. They have discovered that movie theater technique, that type of therapy, has been extremely effective, especially for people that have, you know, have some wartime traumas. So, I mean, just the horrific things that they've seen, and they have triggers, and some people, you know, it's really hard on their lives, or just their daily lives. I mean, they get divorced, the highest rate of suicide. It is very sad, and it's very unfortunate that our government, I don't want to get political, that we don't take care of our veterans the way we should. You know, when somebody comes back from war, they need to be desensitized. They need, and they know how to do it. There's a couple places. One place is called Fort Irwin. I don't know if you've heard of Fort Irwin. It's in California. It's near the Nevada border. It's near state line.
Desensitized? Is that what you said?
Yes. You know, because what happens is they go to Fort Irwin prior to going to war, and what they do is they have what they call Little Iraqi.
Okay.
And I've been there, and it actually, you look like you have the feeling.
They're trying to prepare them for the environment that they'll
Yes, of what
in.
They're going into.
Okay.
And so they have created two cities at Fort Irwin that are the size of a city. Every single building, down to the wiring, the toilets, the shops, the hotels, everything, the piazzas, everything is as if you are in Iraq.
Okay.
As if you're in Baghdad. So, and they have a couple other cities. So they actually have two main cities, couple little smaller cities. I was able to meet the guy who designed the cities. It's been around for years. So a lot of soldiers will go there prior to going to the Middle East, if that is where they're going. And so that they can see what they're, you know, perhaps what they're going to see. And they actually have veterans that they bring in that are amputees. And they put fake blood so that they can, you know, see it. And it actually does look real. And this is prior to them going overseas. And then when they come back, they do the reverse. So introduce them, you know, they start out in little Iraqi. And then they introduce them, you know, to society, and they do go over. So for Irwin, it's pretty extraordinary.
I'd be curious what the reverse process. I know it's not.
You know,
going
I don't
today,
know.
But...
I was only there for a day, and okay. So I interviewed the designer. I met the general. Mm-hmm. I have a 2-star general. It's a smaller facility. Mm-hmm. It's just extraordinary, and it's amazing. But there's not enough. There's only one that I'm aware of. Where they do a program that helps soldiers when they're coming home. So
now for trauma, because the technique that we're going to do today works for trauma, works well for PSD, or PTSD.
It's PSDD.
Yeah.
Now you have
PTSD.
Oh, for crying and
post-traumatic stress disorder.
There's nothing to laugh about. I'm now, so sorry, folks, for saying this wrong, but it's post-traumatic
just
stress.
Just to clarify, when you say trauma, what do you mean when you say trauma?
Well, the technique that we're going to use is useful for anything that I'm going to talk about right now is in particular to people that have spent, you know, soldiers.
Okay.
That have come back. And it's just extraordinary. This movie theater technique is extraordinary. There's about 3 different common therapies for people that have post-traumatic stress syndrome. So about 3 different ones, and they've decided, I don't know the exact techniques that they use.
I guess maybe I'll just answer my question, own question.
I'm so sorry.
At least in that it
was
applies.
Was I not even close?
To this. Well, if any viewer was sort of left wondering how that would apply to what we're going over, that any kind of trauma that would leave a recurring thoughts that are unwanted or disruptive to someone's life, these techniques would be helpful for.
Yes, exactly. That is what we're going to do. So it's not, the techniques aren't exclusive mm-hmm. for people that have post-traumatic stress syndrome, anyone that has any type of trauma in their okay. life that is reoccurring.
Okay.
I'm not, it's not specifically for people, you know, soldiers that have come back. So, however,
there is promising.
I believe so, based on my experience working with people, mm-hmm. and based on the statistics of you know what they've come up with, and the common therapies. There's like 3 common therapies that they've used, you know, for years, and that's one of them is talk therapy, where they have somebody talk through their trauma.
Is that like maybe the old original way, or
they still do okay. it, and it is about 35% effective. And what that means by saying 35 is they say that 35% of the people are cured.
Mm.
Their word is cured. Like they can actually leave the therapy session without needing or requiring any more therapy because it's not destroying their lives. They're not consumed with the trauma. They're not triggered every single day. They're not breaking down every day. They don't have suicidal thoughts every day. Unfortunately, what they don't say in that 35% statistic is of all the people that they've put through the programs, the common therapy programs, that 39% drop out. So they actually have a dropout rate. So they don't know the statistics. They because they just simply dropped out of the program.
The success of the percentage of people that are a success are those people would not have any include people that are the dropout group.
That's right.
Right, they'd be completely separate. No,
that's right.
No crossover.
That's right. So okay. That's they're not calculating in the 39%.
So it could be more. A success rate higher than 35% possible. Mm-hmm.
And there's a corporation that did a study in there, the RAND Corporation, R-A-N-D, and the Iraq, you know, and people that were in Iraq and Afghanistan, with the common therapies, they calculate that it's about 20%.
Okay.
People, the men or women who have served in Vietnam, during the Vietnam War, they calculate the RAND Corp that was about 31% with the just traditional therapies. So we're going to be talking about the movie theater technique, which the success rate after about 1 to 3 sessions, so that's mm-hmm. not very much, is 97% success, meaning they are deemed cured. I guess you could say cured. That's what they say, is that they're deemed cured and that they don't need any further therapy, and that is their lives aren't ruined. And that those statistics are just completely extraordinary.
Yeah, those are very impressive statistics. And I would cured in the sense that at least it's not disruptive anymore.
Yes. Okay. It doesn't mean the event didn't happen.
Yeah.
It didn't mean they don't think about it from time to time, yeah. or they don't mourn, but you know, no, a loss of a friend.
Consuming their thoughts and interrupting their life.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And the dropout rate is 0.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay.
And that's usually after, you know, 3 sessions.
I mean, 97% is approaching, it's kind of close to 100. Mm-hmm. It's close enough where you'd wonder why, or you'd wonder if maybe that 3% that isn't considered cured, is there some sort of exception for them? And is that exception something that can be looked into to, you know, some alternative for those, that 3%, and maybe get that number closer to 100?
Well, that would be ideal. That would be ideal, because this is a 0% dropout rate, meaning that, yes, indeed, there's 3% where it's not successful. But
they didn't drop out.
The studies that I have researched have not gone beyond 3.
Someone who requires many sessions because their trauma happened in multiple events.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So,
or possibly is ongoing even. Which would be, I think you'd need alternatives.
Theater technique. And we are going to do something pretty extraordinary on tonight's episode. And by the way, we're in season 2 and this is episode 3. Mm-hmm. Of season 2. Did you know that?
Yes. There's sort of 2 things I've seen. So on the one hand, it's the total episode is the 13th episode, and it's the 3rd episode of the 2nd season.
Okay. Well, see, excuse me. I have it broken down in seasons because I'm doing summer. We're in the fall season right now.
Yeah.
Now, Nick, just in case anyone is interested, he's the one that actually will package the show and put it together. So you have your own filing system. So technically, this would be episode 13.
Yeah.
If you wanted to just go from the beginning of time of the show, the existence of the Brighter Life show.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if we want to get really technical, but let's get on with
it. You brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm regretting
Blaine,
it now.
Blaine, and ask me any questions, because I know that you're not familiar with the movie theater technique for trauma.
Okay.
And the way it works is you sit somebody, you know, you can do it remotely. You can do it over the phone. It usually is with a therapist or a counselor or another person that's familiar. You know, because it's pretty simple, but somebody that studied it. But you get the person, let's say it's you. In fact, we will do it on you. How about that?
I'm up for that. I know, you told me some information about it, but there's still things I don't know, and I'd like to see it and try it for myself.
The first time that you do this, you want to pick something that is, you don't want to just go straight for the horrific trauma. So you want to pick something in your life that is not completely destroying your life at this point. So, I mean, can you think of any, maybe trauma? We all have trauma.
Yeah,
I can think of 10 things.
There is 2 things I want to mention, which is that for some trauma techniques, the trauma itself needs to be revealed to the practitioner. And for some of them, you don't need to. And this particular technique, from what I understand, you don't need to know what my trauma is. So if someone's not comfortable yet, sort of maybe it's a private trauma and they're not, don't feel comfortable telling people about it, this technique would be good for that, from what I understand. Is
yes,
that right?
You are absolutely correct.
Okay.
In fact, when we go, we're going to actually do a session. And just for anyone that's listening, this is for educational purposes. I'm not doing a session for anyone to follow along and think about your own trauma is just to listen, see if it's something that you think will work for you, or you've tried other things and, you know, this is something that, that, you know, just an option for you. What you can do, if you do like it after we complete the session, Nick, you're up for a session, right? Oh, gosh. Yeah. He just rolled his eyes. Are you?
I'm sorry, you're talking about right now?
Well, after a minute, a few minutes.
Oh well, I
tonight, today.
I don't know if I have any sort of like a disruptive recurring trauma, but I have some trauma that I'd be curious. Yeah, what maybe it can help me with that.
Okay.
And so I'd be willing to try, give that a try.
Okay, then we'll just, you know, go for this. But like you said, I do not need to know. Don't need to know. But anyone's listening, after you listen to our educational sort of a it's not really mock, because you really are going to think of some trauma that you have. So hopefully, you know, we can make a difference just with one session. This is going to be kind of a mini session. But anyone, you can go online and look up movie theater, a technique, or cinema technique, and find a therapist in your area. So it's pretty common. So it's not, uncommon. A lot of therapists use it.
If you Google it, or in a search engine, search for practitioners of it, you will find them?
Yes.
Okay.
And they vary. Their technique varies slightly from mine.
Okay.
So I will try when we do it not to, because I'm going to want to break away and say, and some other therapist will have you, you know, envision that you're at this place or that place. I mean, there's a couple different types. The rewind therapy, if anyone has heard of that, is very similar. But they just do things a little bit differently.
Okay.
So, but all in all, you can find somebody in your area or somebody that, that's remote. You can go online, and if there's somebody that you read about their history, and the therapist has a lot of experience with this type of therapy.
And I imagine someone would be able to go to your website and probably book a session with you if they wanted.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And I would just,
I know you're not self-promoting, so I'm doing it for you right now.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. So the technique, now, Nick, I do hope that we can, make a difference for you tonight.
Okay. There is a trauma I can think of that I've been trying to, think what's the biggest trauma I have, because I don't currently have anything that I would call disruptively recurring, but that I would say is maybe close to that, maybe.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, I kind of threw this at you. Plus, I don't want it to be something that's, super traumatic, since we're doing this, live on the radio. So I appreciate that you're accepting, to do this. So, but I don't want something that's big, major trauma, because I don't want you.
Okay. I don't consider myself to have any like that.
Okay. So. Okay. Well, maybe, you can get really good at this. I know that you're the vibration expert, but maybe.
Well, if I do in the future, I know what to. Well, we'll see, I guess.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about, we're not going to start the session now, but I'm just going to describe how the session is going to go in advance. So that you have a clear understanding, and ask me questions at this point, along the way. Even during the session, you can ask questions. You can always break away. But for now, the way this technique, the movie theater technique, works is you have your client or your patient sit in a very comfortable chair. They need to be comfortable. They need to be in a sitting, upright position. Okay?
Okay.
Following me?
Yeah.
And what I will do is I will have somebody stare at either a blank wall in their home, or they could stare at the office, if they're in a therapist's office, at their blank wall. They may even have a screen that they'll pull down, or a big screen TV. And you sit there and you pretend that you envision that you are actually in a, at a movie theater, and you're in the front row or one of the front rows. Okay, are you following me?
Yes, I'm trying to find which wall would be the best here.
In the studio?
Yeah, in the studio. Okay, I got one picked.
Okay, you do? Okay, good. Yeah. Well, thank you. Okay, excellent. So you're on board here. Mm-hmm. So what I'm going to have you do, not now, you know, I'm just describing it for everyone, is you're going to be looking at this movie screen, or what you envision. If it's a blank wall, you're going to pretend you're going to, you know, that there's a movie screen in front of you. And you're going to think about your trauma, and you need to actually experience the trauma, but you're going to watch yourself on the screen with the event that happened, whatever the event may be. If it was a short event, a long event, you know, you want to watch yourself, and that gives you some separation because you're sitting in the movie theater seat. Mm-hmm. So you're not experiencing the trauma where you're at in the, in real time, like having being triggered or thinking about it because you're inside your body and you're thinking about it and you're experiencing it. You're,
I can understand that when I'm, if I'm sort of memorizing what happened, that I remember it from a first person point of view, that anyone I was interacting with or whatever I was doing. I mean, mine would be something specific, but for other people, whatever it is they're doing, or if they're interacting with people, they'd be around them, they'd be interacting with them instead of watching themselves do this. So I can see that different. In my case, I can, you know, as I'm sort of imagining, let's say it being projected onto the wall, that I'm watching this happen to me rather than imagining.
Yes, exactly. Me or having, or remembering it and having just the trauma come all, you know, around you, and you may not even be able to function very well, because a lot of people, it's just life consuming. You know, they have a hard time with work, with relationships, with, you know, the suicidal thoughts. I mean, there's so many things that go on when you're reliving your trauma every single moment. But you are separating yourself. You're in the front few rows, whichever row you want to pick. It doesn't matter. It can be row 1, 2, or 3. And you're comfortable and you're watching this event play out. And then after you've watched it in color, then the next thing that we will do is we're going to have you repeat it in black and white. And then I'm going to have you do a variety of different techniques by changing it to black and white from color is really important, because that is another, it's all about separating yourself and the degrees of separation. So the fact that you're actually sitting in the movie theater watching the traumatic event happen, then by changing it to black and white, then making it go faster, then reversing it, having it go backwards. Then the next thing I'm going to have you do is go into the projection room of the movie theater. That adds more separation, plus there's like the plexiglass in front. And also, you can turn that projector off anytime, at any time. As a matter of fact, even when you're in the front row, you can just simply zoom your imagination, you know, zoom yourself to the projection room and turn it off. You can make it go fast and slow. So I'm going to have you do a couple things all while you're watching this event. And each thing, it just separates you a little bit further so that you're just observing. You're somebody watching an event that happened. It's not ingrained in you. We're just separate. That's the entire point. And then we're going to have you do it, you know, in reverse. And we're going to replace it with something funny. So the last time I'm going to have you watch it, and it can be, think of a cartoon that you enjoyed as a kid.
Okay.
Okay. Now, just to let you know, since I do not know what this event is, this is something, this trauma, mild trauma, I'm guessing from what you said before, if you were younger when this happened, when you're looking at the screen, remember that you are looking at your younger self. Even if it was 3 years ago, it's still your younger self. It was 20 years ago. You are looking at your younger self. You're watching this happen as your younger self. Now, I talked about rewind therapy, which is part of, you know, NLP, mm-hmm. neuro-linguistics therapy, and our programming, I'm sorry, they do it a little bit different with rewind therapy.
Okay.
It's just a little bit different because they have you go in super fast speed backwards. So the technique is, it just varies a little bit.
The whole thing seems NLP-esque to me.
This is. This is categorized, but in the NLP world, they name it rewind therapy because they really make you play it backwards.
And there'd be some minor differences in how it's
Yes, exactly.
Done. Okay.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's really interesting, but the one thing they do with rewind therapy, is they will have you, and this is, I'm incorporating rewind therapy
it
into the...
It probably works for the same reason.
It does. Yeah. It's very much the same. Almost identical. And they do have the projection. Now, sometimes some people, if you go online and you watch it, they won't have you go to the projection room. They'll have you sit in the balcony. So, but that's another separation because you're not watching the screen when you're in the projection room or in the balcony. You're watching yourself sitting in the front row. And that younger self is watching the screen. So, it's all about separating you from...
So mentally, at that point, I know that this isn't... It's not first person. Now it's me watching it. And then an additional separation from that. Now I have the memory of I can remember myself watching this memory that used to be a first person memory. So I can tell it sort of already.
You can see how the technique works. You know, you can just tell someone what you're going to walk them through, you know, in advance. But at the very, very end of the movie and towards the end, you're going to either think of, you're just going to kind of replace these thoughts with a funny cartoon that you remember
as
a kid. Am I
going to play credits at the end or what's going to, no? Okay.
You could, it could be a funny cartoon. It could be a song that you like. It doesn't even have to be funny. It could be a noise like doing, 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 boing. Okay, I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it works. So anytime, you know, if you're driving around and something reminds you of this traumatic event, your mind will think, boing, 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 doing, you know. So, I mean, and it does work. It's 97% success rate. And it seems so simple. It's so simple. Now, do psychiatrists use this? I don't know. Probably not. Not very many. Because they, you know.
Is that data... How new is that data? Do you know the statistics?
You know, I don't know exactly when the research was done, but the oldest video that I can find is about 10 years old. Yes.
Sounds like you've seen videos on this. Okay, so it might be it might be too new, I suppose, to be have been picked up by, you know, psychiatrists.
Perhaps. I'm sure that some use this technique, but, you know, I don't know.
I guess I'd be more a therapist or maybe a psychologist.
Right. So it's just something to try. The success rate is, if all the research is indeed accurate, I look at it like, what can it hurt? It's not going to damage you. Your life is already consumed. You know, for a lot of people that...
It doesn't sound like it takes a long time. I mean, hearing your explanation of it, wouldn't take too long to do sort of one session of that. And if the success rate's that high, I can't see it causing damage.
Yes.
Although I suppose it is only for educational purposes.
Well, that's because anyone that's listening, I want you to just listen to how I'm going through the technique with Nick. And then if you think that this is something that may work for you or something that, you know, what do you have to lose? You might as well try it. You know, you can find somebody near you or, you know, just look online and find somebody that specializes in the movie theater technique.
I apologize.
Continue. Yeah, a lot of people do specialize in this.
I was going to say that also, this sounds like something that would work in addition to whatever someone's already doing. So it wouldn't, it's not an and or situation.
Exactly. It's not to replace some other therapies. But what you'll find is when you go, you may not want to talk, especially if you're with, you know, have a therapist that were there mostly, their practice is talk therapy. Mm-hmm. Because you can talk about it. Because every time you're talking about it, you're not separating yourself from it.
Yeah,
you may understand.
Sort of reliving it in a day, in a way.
Yeah. You're reliving it over and over and over. Mm-hmm. Now, just to say, the first step when you do have some trauma is to find somebody safe and to share. Because some people repress these feelings. Mm-hmm. With this particular technique, you do have to know what your trauma is. You know, there's other therapies for people that they get triggered, but they don't. Some issues. Yes, indeed,
oh, yeah.
I do.
In regards to someone like replaying it over and over and over, to treat it properly, it has to be replayed at least once in anything, just coming from a vibrational standpoint. Any trauma has to be replayed at least once. And I know you're familiar with the different surrendering techniques, and even those, you'd have to sort of replay something at least once. And if you replay something and accept it and, feel, surrender the emotions essentially that are associated with whatever that experience is, then that's something that is a good thing in regards to recovering. But if you're actively resisting how you feel about something and then replaying it in your head, then that's when it's problematic. So a person going to talk therapy, depending on how they're handling it in their head, it could be good that they're replaying it, because it might be the last time they end up replaying it. Or if they're actively resisting it, then it might not be good. So I guess what I'm getting at is that I wasn't saying that it was a bad thing necessarily if someone's going to talk therapy and end up replaying it, but depends how they handle it.
That's true, because, well, they always say the first step is to talk about it, and so that you can identify exactly what the trauma is. Now, in my case, I do have some trauma, and I'm going to ask you to do your therapy on me if time allows, and I don't know where this trauma originates.
Okay.
And so that's why the technique that you did with me, it was actually privately to help me with something. You took me down until identified.
So we're trying to find the base, the foundational emotion that's the primary driver, essentially.
Exactly. And so that's why I couldn't do this particular technique that I'm going to do with you right now, the movie theater technique, because in my case, I don't know.
I don't know.
So there's nothing for me to put on the screen.
Yeah, yeah. That now that I think about it, you would have to be aware of that for this.
Yes.
For this to work.
So
yeah.
For this particular technique, you do have to. Now, most people that have took place. Mm-hmm. Are you relaxed?
Describing it, maybe cheating a little bit and snuck in the movie theater.
No. Okay, now I'm so glad you said that, because after you've done it with a therapist or somebody has walked you through it, which is helpful, you can do it on your own.
Okay.
You absolutely can, as long as you follow the steps of the technique. So it's not something that you have to, pay a therapist to step you through it once you understand. How the process works. So it's just helpful to have somebody else, because they may ask you or so that you don't spend too much time, or you don't, what are you going to do when you stop the projector? Because all of a sudden, it's not working. You're not having a moment. You need somebody to bring you back.
Then you need a projector technician.
You do. Yeah.
And so you need to find someone to be the projector technician in your imagination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And it might be too expensive.
Yeah. So you are, I need you to tell me that you are ready and that you are comfortable, and you've spotted the wall that that is going to be your projector.
I've spotted the wall that's going to be the where it projects to.
Okay.
That the projector plays on. I think they're still fixing the projector.
Okay, now we're ready to go.
Okay.
So now, just to let everyone know, it's for educational purposes that Nick's particular trauma, he is not going to share that trauma with me. You do not have to, but a lot of people will go through it, and their therapist will say, how are you feeling about this? How are you? I mean, they will. So it's really your option.
Okay.
And like you said earlier, some people, they're not ready to tell somebody, but they want to at least do this technique to see if it gives them some relief.
I think what I'm going to do is, because with in your case, we're going to share what that is. And so in my case, I won't. So we'll have for our audience one example where we don't, where so the audience knows this can be something I can use if I'm not comfortable sharing this trauma. And if I am, you know, so they have examples.
And what we're doing is Nick has chosen an event that is uncomfortable, but it's nothing that is consuming his life. It's just something that's an irritant. Would you say that?
Oh, I would say it's a trauma that I would say it's a trauma, and okay. It maybe if the details, maybe if it was a little worse, it could be recurring, but.
Okay.
But I would say I'm not recurring, and I'm going to say I'm not comfortable enough yet to reveal to my therapist what this trauma is, because I'm a hypothetical person that has not comfortable with that just yet.
And that's the thing. It's all about you being safe and mm-hmm. in a safe place, and it's not a requirement.
Okay.
It's not a requirement at all. And so as long as so you feel safe right now.
I kind of want to see it, you know, how you do it with me not revealing it too. So.
Okay, yeah. You know, I've done it with some of my clients.
I think we talked about this vaguely before. You didn't go over this much detail. We saved it for the show. And I remember you saying that about half of the people will... Is that about right?
Half the people will.
Oh, about half the people will usually tell you.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Mention what the trauma is.
Yes, that is correct. Half the people will tell me. And so then, you know, I know a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can incorporate it. But it is not necessary, because the number one concern is that you feel comfortable. And you know what the trauma is.
Okay.
You know, maybe you've discussed it with somebody else, you know, somebody that you felt safe with.
Oh, the importance is that I do know what it is. Okay, yes. In this case, I do know what it is. I know what the projector is going to be playing.
Okay. So right now, you're in a very comfortable position.
Okay.
So I want you to actually just look at the movie screen. Make certain that you are in one of the first three rows of the theater. You can be in the first row, the second row, or the third row. Whichever row is most comfortable for you. So you're looking at the widescreen. You're in a movie theater. You are alone. No one else is in the theater. There's no other distractions. So you're looking at the movie screen. Right now it's blank. So what I want you to do is to actually play from the very beginning of the traumatic experience. And I want you to just play it just in a regular pace, but a tiny bit faster than it actually occurred. So just play it, and you're seeing yourself on the screen. If this happened many years ago, you are looking at your younger self. You know, okay. So when you've gone through it one time the first time, then I want you to let me know.
Okay, I'm playing this out. About how long should...
Is it
real time?
Well, you can just make it a little bit faster.
Because
right now, you know, you're sitting still. Remember that you are looking up at the screen. You're seeing yourself. It's in color. a little bit faster than the actual event. If it was 5 minutes, then, you know, make it a minute or two.
And okay, just, it's played, the event's played out.
Okay, so the plus, now, what you're going to do is you're going to stay in that seat. Mm-hmm. And I want you to know at any time that you feel uncomfortable when we play it again, you can go right to the projector and you can turn it off yourself. Okay? So right now I want you to replay it again, the same from the on the screen in black and white.
Okay, I'm playing it in black and white. It's playing in black and white. I'm watching it.
Then I want you to actually play it at different speeds. So it's still in black and white. You're going to play it a little bit faster, and then a little bit slower, and then a little bit faster, a little bit slower. Just make it all disjointed, not all fast, not all slow.
Okay, I'm doing that. Okay, and I would say I fast forwarded it all the way to the end, and maybe, I don't know if I was supposed to go in reverse, but I reversed it back a little bit.
Okay, you know what? That is actually excellent, because that is, I wasn't going to have you do that, but that actually is part of this technique. Mm. Sometimes they will have you do it. That's a rewind. You actually play it backwards. But what I'm going to have you do is to watch it from the beginning to the end, and I want you to view it out of in black and white, mm-hmm, and out of focus from the beginning to the end, then from the end back to the beginning, and tell me, okay, when you've completed that.
Out of focus and in black. Yeah, this is, it's really NLP-esque. So yeah, there'd definitely be something to this. Now, how out of focus are we talking?
You can be as out of focus as you want. You still want to see figures. You can still identify where you are, where if there's anyone else in this scenario, in this event that you're reliving. But, so you can see who's who, where the figures are, but it's just blurry.
Okay. So I've done that.
Okay. So now what we're going to do is we are going to transport you. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to ask you, do you feel safe?
Yes.
Okay. Do you need to go? Do you feel that, would you rather go, now this is entirely up to you, to the balcony or do the projection? Okay. So I want you to take your, envision yourself, just transport yourself up high in the balcony.
Okay.
We're going to redo the technique again, but only we're going to start with black and white. We're not going to revisit color again. You're in the balcony and you are looking at yourself watching the event on the movie screen in black and white. So go through the event and tell me when you've completed it. All the while, remember that you're in the balcony and you are watching yourself watch a screen. So it's not just the screen at this point. You're further back. The screen is smaller and you can see the back of yourself watching the black and white.
Okay, I've completed that. It's played out.
Okay, so now we're
going to... The person that I'm watching... they're watching.
That's exactly what.
And that's played out.
So you're back far enough where you can actually see yourself in the front row.
Yeah.
You've gone through it in black and white. So now we're going to make it, we're going to do two more steps. We're going to make it blurry, mm-hmm, a little more blurry, and you're going to play it backwards.
Now, when you say blurry, is when I'm watching myself from the balcony, when I'm watching myself in the front row.
The screen's blurry.
The screen's, yes, getting blurry. Not me in the front
row. That's correct.
Okay. Okay, so I'm doing that now. Yeah, so after it plays once through,
yes.
What do I do after?
Some therapists just tell me. So as it played through?
As it plays once through, a little bit blurry. And yes. What was the other request?
Black and white. It's black and white. Yeah, it's a little bit blurry.
Yep.
And it's fast.
Okay.
So we're going to make this very quick.
Yeah, this one, I'm done.
Okay, so you are done.
Yep.
Now we have one more step.
Okay.
Now, sometimes you want to do this 5 times. So we're doing this, you know, I'm trying to help you, Nick, and I think that it's going to be quite effective. But a therapist can ask you to do each one of these steps 5 times, 10 times. You know, it may take more time depending on how you're responding. And so now this is the very last step. Now at the end, if you recall me telling you to think of something funny, a funny cartoon, your favorite cartoon when you were a kid, something that gave you joy, something that made you laugh, but something that's kind of ridiculous.
Okay.
So you have something in your head?
Yes.
Okay. So now what we're going to do is it's going to be black and white. It's going to be quicker. So you're going to go it from beginning to end. And when you hit the end, you're going to think of that funny, stupid, silly, ridiculous, brings you, you know, a fond memory of that cartoon. You're still in the balcony. You're still watching yourself in one of the front rows, watching the screen. The screen's in black and white. The screen is out of focus. And you're going to go from beginning to end. And at the very end, you're going to think of that funny, whatever it may be.
Okay. Okay, so I'm watching myself play that through in kind of a fast forward, right?
Yes, it's blurry, it's black and white, and at the end...
And it's blurry and in black and white.
And something funny. Don't forget the funny. Or something that makes you feel good. It could even be a song. I know that you already have established something.
Okay, and as it ends, there's the credits, which are my cartoon that is funny.
Okay, now I want you to do it one more time, and I want you to do it very quick, except for the funny. So it's black and white, it's out of focus, go super fast, and then see the funny. All the while. Okay, so, and you were in the balcony and you saw yourself in the front.
Yes.
That was out of focus. Okay, so we have come to the conclusion and the technique is over right now. Just want you back with me.
Okay.
So right now you're focused on me.
I'm back with us.
We're back in the studio.
Back in the studio, which is now in color.
Yes. Now, this technique, they found the success to be, you know, 1 to 3 sessions. We did what I would consider a mini session, but it still should have had some effect on you. How do you feel?
Actually, really think about it now. It definitely wasn't recurring. So I would say that I feel, it's kind of hard to say. I picked a trauma that happened a long time ago, and at this point, it's not, you know, it's not something that I really ever think about, but I know that it used to be something that I had regret about. And even when I would think, if I would think about it recently, it would give me anxiety. And when I think about it now, I would say that anxiety is not there. I don't feel the regret from it. And I'd be curious to know how much of that is sort of maybe just because I happen to just do this right now, and if it's a in the moment, or how long term is it, I guess, is where I'd be curious to.
And that's normal.
So as I go throughout my day, in a week from now, if I were to think of that, Would I still have no anxiety over that, or how permanent is it? Would I be curious to?
Okay.
I would say I don't have anxiety over it. It wasn't a huge traumatic. It was far in the past, so it wasn't a huge issue. But the anxiety that I did have, I would say I don't have right now.
Okay, and that's excellent. That's exactly what we want. What I wanted you to say. Okay. That it did have an effect on you. We did, like, you know, this little mini session, and it still had an effect. So what we're going to do is wait a couple of weeks, and then just, you know, we'll just bring it up, and you will see if your anxiety level, if you have any, or if it's just really diminished. If it's just diminished and it's not, you know, completely gone, we can do it again. We won't do it, you know, on the radio. We won't do it live streaming, but you know, let's do it again, because I want you to have that be in that 97%.
Is it common that it would be permanent?
Yes, it should be.
It should be.
Because what happens is you don't think about it, and then you don't think about it. And if something actually reminds you of it and you do, then you just don't have the anxiety that's associated with it. Your mind doesn't have to put it, you don't have to repress it. You don't have to, put it in the, you don't have to think about it. You don't have any anxiety that's associated with it. Doesn't mean that the event didn't take place. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of this, we're not suggesting that the event didn't take place. It's how your body is reacting and if it's controlling any aspect of your life.
Well, I suppose now that you put it like that, it's almost like it's a memory that just happened, and I don't have any. It's just like a normal memory, and that's almost how you're describing. Like I'm always thinking, like, maybe that wasn't that big of a deal. Like, why would I pick that? But now I remember, like, yeah, it used to be something that gave me anxiety.
And now we just don't, if it ever somehow comes up or somebody brings it up, I don't know what it is, or there's an occasion that you have, you know, you're thinking about or something reminds you of this, it probably won't even come into play. But if it does, your anxiety level should be lower. But we can revisit this in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then we will see, because I do want to find out how, you know, that it's long lasting. And when they say three sessions, they mean three sessions. You know, that means that it just gets better. You know, it gets better until you're completely cured of this particular trauma. Now, some people have multiple traumas that they need to go through each one. So now,
are you ready for your
I don't know
for your
okay, so what Nick is going to do now, Nick has actually done his therapy with me before, and we threw the what for, the what for, and this is I don't qualify for the movie theater technique, because I don't know. I know my reaction, but when I'm in a car, I'm just going to say what it is. I have high anxiety when I'm driving in a car. If I'm driving, it's pretty high, and I map out every place that I go so that I'm not at lights very long. You know how I'm going to turn onto a road. I'll even drive miles and miles out of the way to avoid certain intersections, so I can, you know, protect myself so that I don't get the high anxiety if I'm driving with somebody else. It is to the point where I'm unbearable. I'm unbearable to be with myself, and I certainly make the person who is driving the car miserable.
So is it when you're driving, when someone else is driving and you're with them,
yes,
it gives you anxiety.
High anxiety. Where I used to take an anxiety pill, knowing that. Okay.
You're a backseat driver or backseat navigator.
If you took a backseat driver and made, I'm sure that people would have been happy if I jumped out of the car. I mean, completely happy. I mean, absolutely miserable. It's off the chart.
Okay.
Unrealistic how I feel about people driving.
This is because I've been in a car with you before, and it adds up, I would say. So.
It does consume my life. Because all of us have to go somewhere. I have to go somewhere tomorrow. And I have to think about, you know, how I'm going to get to this appointment, which is just 5 miles from my home.
And this isn't something that the movie theater technique would work for you for, because we don't know what the base reason, what is the trauma that caused this?
I don't have anything to put on the screen except that I make people miserable.
Like maybe hundreds of driving incidents,
I'm trying to find out.
You wouldn't get anywhere doing that, I guess.
What is the reason? Mm-hmm. Why am I this way? Okay. I wasn't always this way, but I can't even define the moment when, I don't know. I've thought about it.
So you said you haven't always been that way. You haven't always had that response when you're driving or with other people driving.
Both. But you know, the thing is, I used to have fast cars. Mm-hmm. I used to love to drive. I would drive across country. Mm-hmm. I used to drive my kids from Washington State to California 4 times a year because they were...
And you didn't have anxiety then?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
I was a perfect passenger too. I did not make people's lives miserable complaining. It is so bad that if I'm in the car...
So when your husband drove?
He was a horrible driver, and I didn't care. I didn't have a problem.
You didn't have... Okay.
No.
Interesting.
Okay. I would just say, you know, you need to look at the road while you're driving. I mean, that was probably the worst thing I ever said.
Okay.
And he told me once, I don't need to. I can feel the road.
Okay.
It's like, okay. You know, but it was just funny to me. It wasn't like I was, you know, I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's probably, from the sound of that, probably some trauma, but we don't know exactly what it is that caused it. Now, I know you've described I'm going to pause it again, I think. But I know what I need to get into. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to hit the pause button. Okay. So I think we're just going to go ahead and jump in and start this.
Okay, I'm ready.
So so you have anxiety when you're in a car as a passenger driving with other people, when other people are driving?
Yes, extreme.
An extreme
unreasonable
amount of anxiety to the point where you're being a backseat driver, essentially driving from the passenger seat.
That is correct, and I will actually instruct people on how to drive.
And so I think I'll start with from there for why. What is the purpose of wanting to, you know, control, giving
people
trying to be a backseat driver?
You know, I've never thought about that. I want to be in control. Oh, gosh. Mm. Okay, well, there you go. There's the answer. Okay, we can stop this session.
Okay.
I, for some reason, think if I tell somebody how to drive, mm-hmm. that they will drive like a grandma and mm-hmm. drive slower. And if they do that and follow my instructions, that somehow I will be safe. I will be safer in the car.
Interesting. Okay, I think I'll go. Will I continue this? It'd be surprising if it ended. Right? The first question, the wanting them to be drive like a grandmother, for why? What's the purpose for wanting them to drive like a grandmother?
Because if they drive slowly, mm-hmm. First of all, I think to myself that nobody's ever in a hurry to go anywhere. It's not worth dying or getting in. Me thinks, you know, we're all going to die someday. That's not how I want to die.
Is
not
a
at
person,
the hands of somebody else.
Is a
driving.
Person driving I apologize. I actually should have let you play out because it's part of how this technique works is letting the person reveal things. What was the question I was going to ask? Is a person driving like a grandmother safer? Is that something you associate with?
Somebody that drives slowly?
Yeah.
I absolutely believe is safer. Because I've read statistics. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're driving over the speed limit and getting a wreck, the odds of survival are less than somebody that's driving slower, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I've read the statistics. When I see car crashes on the road, I just think, okay, you know, especially if you know that somebody didn't survive, it's usually on a freeway. And my mind thinks that it's because somebody was a reckless driver, wasn't paying attention.
You want people to, the person that is driving that you're in the car with, to drive more like a grandmother, which is why you're, you know, giving them commands.
Yes.
And if we were to say, why do you want them to drive more like a grandmother? Because you think you'll be safer. And why do you need to be, safer, essentially?
Because that's not how I want to die.
Because that's not how you want to die. Okay.
I know that we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to die in a car because I should be able to control mm-hmm. how I get from point A to point B. And if I'm obliged or there's no other choice, I think that there's no other choice. And usually it has to be someone getting mad at me. I'll say, I'll meet you there. Well, that's ridiculous, especially if they're at my home and there's one car. I'll Uber. I would rather drive with an Uber driver. I have less anxiety, and they're probably horrible drivers, than I do driving with somebody that I know that is behind the wheel. It could be my mother. It could be my father. It could be a friend. No one is a good driver.
Okay. What is your reason for, why do you feel that you, kind of an odd question that I'm going to ask. What is your reason you feel for not wanting to die in a car as a passenger?
Okay, that is really interesting. I've been in a couple car accidents. And it's been where you just sort of almost see your life in front of you. The very first car accident I was in.
Okay, I actually wasn't aware you had been in any car accident.
I was in a car accident when I was about 10 years old. My mom was driving.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the way to get me tap dancing shoes.
Okay.
We ultimately did not get the tap dancing shoes. We were in a car accident, and I'll never forget my mom's... Oh my gosh, I'm going to cry. Okay, so I'm seriously going to cry. Okay. So, oh my gosh. Okay, this is just freaky. My mom turned to me and looked at me, and she was horrified. She went through a red light. And I remember telling the police officer, all I remember was the red light. So... busted. She's totally busted.
All I remember is how my mother ran that red light.
Oh my gosh, I probably feel guilty for saying that. But my mom, the look on my mom's face, the horror, as I felt warmth flowing down my face. And I reached up to grab the rear view mirror because I wanted to see what it was. And she grabbed it and she said, don't look. Now, I was unconscious, obviously, and I grabbed it, and when I saw my face, I was horrified. You could hardly make out my face. The swelling happened so fast, and I just looked like a monster. Then the ambulance came, and this is a long, long time ago, where the x-ray machines, they were like x-ray machines. It's almost like you're laying on a huge table. I remember this big, huge table in this, I was a little kid. So, actually, I was younger than 12. I was in the first grade because I remember when I had my bandages on, I had to go up in front of the classroom and tell everybody over and over. Many times the teacher had me talk about it. But now that I think about it, oh, my poor mom. You know, she's a decent driver. But I think die that day. And I don't want to die in a car accident. And my actual, it was because of my very first car accident. Wow. I am going to have to play this. Hey.
Okay, so now I'll ask you, you mentioned that you were in two car accidents, right?
That's right.
So, okay, so can you describe the second one for me?
Okay, I think it might be worthy of noting that after the very first car accident from the first grade, mm-hmm. I was able to, you know, grow up, get a driver's license, mm-hmm. and I loved driving, and I really didn't have any fear. You know, I mean, I remembered that accident not as vividly as I just did now. Mm-hmm. But then the second car accident, I was in Paris, mm-hmm. you know, and we all partied. It was a bunch of girls and we would party and got a ride home from a stranger, a really cute guy.
Okay.
And he had a little Porsche and five of us piled into this tiny Porsche. We got in a car accident.
Hmm.
And, you know, I went to the hospital and that time my nose was broken. So, and that was, you know, it's kind of interesting because I've had this unreasonable dislike of Paris. I've never wanted to go back. I've never wanted to go back. And now I know why.
You think it was because of the car accident?
Yes. Yes, I've just, it's like, nope.
And
Paris, I had to party all night and work in the day because, you know, so, we were young.
Yeah, so you broke your nose. You were there modeling, which requires mm-hmm. you to be beautiful. But you broke your nose.
Oh.
So Paris was your nose, let's say, ugly before, you know, they put it in place? Or if that's...
Well, my nose was quite lovely.
Was it something that
prior
needed
to the accident?
Yeah.
Now it's kind of scrunchy, and it's kind of funny that you even mentioned that because I
mean, is it something that you would associate with?
Yes. I associate that with Paris. Okay. I associate that with I don't like getting into small sports cars.
I will never get into a tiny. Was it part of my beauty was lost?
No.
No.
I don't think so because. The doctor fixed my nose with his thumb mm-hmm. and, you know, put it back in place and put a splint on it. And then when it was finally revealed afterwards, my nose right now is I actually like my nose. And I always found it amusing that I could have this kind of messed up nose and still have a modeling career. I don't know why I found that amusing, okay. But the actual trauma of the accident.
And I wouldn't even be aware that you have a messed up nose unless you told me.
Oh, thank you. So. It was really nice before.
Okay.
Now it's just kind of funky. But anyway,
normal person's nose to you is apparently
yes.
messed up because you had such amazing. You could have been a nose model.
I should. Yeah. Well, nowadays they actually have nose models because they're always putting jewelry in their noses.
Yeah. I guess you would need that.
I promise you, I will not get hired for that. Job. I don't have that kind of nose, but that's okay.
Because your car, because of Paris.
Yeah, because of blame it on the French. So, but then when I came back, I still don't remember having necessarily.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you don't want to die in a car wreck. And you identified these car crashes.
Okay, you know what? I do think I know what it is.
Okay.
Okay, this is like actually extraordinary to me. Because even after that accident, I was able to drive. I wasn't petrified. But, you know, once I had children, it was really important to me to drive safe.
Mm-hmm.
But I witnessed an accident. Oh, gosh, this actually gives me anxiety thinking about it. Okay. I was driving down the street and just normal, and I was on a freeway. I was on Highway 5. Our freeway. Where is it? It's a federal freeway. The 5. I was on the 5. And there was a car wreck on the other side of the road. And it had just happened. And everyone's going slow. I wasn't the looky lure, so everyone in front of me was going slow. So naturally, you know, I looked over and I saw the ambulance. And there was a guy in a truck. And they hadn't had time to get him out of the truck. But there was no front of the truck anymore. And there was no back of the truck. And he was pancaked. He was maybe 6 inches. He was so smashed, he wasn't recognizable. But I could see that it was a human form that had been smashed. And from that moment on, I made like a postulate, I don't want to die like that. And he had, this is so sad, he had a refrigerator had fallen out of the back of his truck because this was actually in California. And in California, when you rent a home, you take your refrigerator with you. It's just a weird California thing. So when you rent homes or even buy a home, they don't come with refrigerators. But I remember thinking, oh, he has a family. He has kids. He's not going to make it to his new place with his refrigerator. I know that sounds, and he's a pancake, and he's dead, and they didn't even have time to cover him up. And I saw it just in a flash, and all those things came to head. It was a truck, mm-hmm. The front end was smashed in, the back end was smashed in, there was a beat-up refrigerator just on the road.
Because he's the similarity to you?
I just started thinking of all these things, and at that moment is when I decided, it's funny.
And you made a decision that I don't want to die
that
like that.
Way.
Okay. Is it because he was, maybe he...
I couldn't see if he was...
The way that he was displayed in front of people...
He was in the car.
That he was not covered up.
He was still in the car, smashed like a pancake. Mm-hmm. So the steering wheel, I couldn't see, but it would have been embedded in him. But his face, you know, from the shoulders up, he was literally, for side view... He was a pancake. He looked like just a sliver of a human being.
And his face?
Yeah, I couldn't see his face. His skull was completely smashed. It was just a sliver of just sort of flesh.
Okay.
I mean, they didn't even bother taking him out because they were actually trying to save somebody else. Another passenger in the car. It may have even been a child. I don't know. But that was the moment I decided... Mm-hmm. I am not going to die that way. And that was the moment I think I became a weirdo when it comes to driving or being a passenger in the car.
Did it happen so quickly and unexpected that
I didn't see the accident. I saw the aftermath. So the cars were going slow in front of me. I was forced to go slow. Mm-hmm. So I had time to see it. It wasn't just a complete flash, but
okay.
It was just, you know, I mean, I'm driving by and I can, you know, see that the front of the car isn't there.
Is it something that you feel can happen at any moment, I guess? And that's sort of why I get the feeling that we kind of found our, do you think that we found our sort of underlying?
Yes.
That it's something that at this point there's other techniques you could. I get the feeling that we found that. Okay. That's essentially the...
I have not thought about that. Talk about repressed memory of all the car. I can think about these two accidents that, you know, they're accidents. But at that time, I never decided I don't want to die that way. The second car accident, I never thought to myself, I don't want to die that way. See, witnessing a car accident that I was just viewing, I made that decision. I do not want to die that way. I do not want to die in a car.
I'm happy we found this out. I know with some people, what is the direction that's the deeper one? And I was thinking that this seems like it's actually a little more difficult than I thought it would be. But oddly enough, something I have to tell myself sometimes is that often when that is the case, you kind of need them to explore and sort of, because you're kind of letting them explore and reveal what the next question is. And it's really just my impatience. So.
No, you did fantastic because I recognized that I'd gone back too far and that wasn't, I never said to myself, I don't want to die this way when I was in the first grade. When I was in Paris, I never said, I don't want to die this way. Mm-hmm. It was just something that happened. This, I made that decision.
Is that a thought?
Yes.
When you're driving with other people, is that a thought that you tell yourself?
Yes.
So that those words, I don't want to die this way, have meaning to you. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And that's where that started.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I think you have other options to deal with that at this point.
So, just knowing what it is is huge. Now, I still probably, right now, just because I'm thinking about that accident, I have a little bit of anxiety thinking about it.
Yeah,
but
I can tell
relief.
You.
you can tell. But it is a relief knowing what it was.
So I can communicate what the problem, where the source was. And now I think,
Okay, I have chills. I can say I have chills. I honestly have chills. Wow.
I think it would be something that maybe a day or two from now, you'd sort of be aware if you still have issues, because it, just knowing could reduce it somewhat. And if you do, then you'd know you have other options at that point. At this point, I mean.
Okay. So, you know what? Then I'll have to do the movie theater and go through and my thoughts.
And that's
make them.
The four why technique, which is it's really just a kind of digging deeper.
Letting
the person uncover sort of each of the, you know, what the next question will be. And sometimes you do have to go back like that. So
this is like it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre that I finally have figured out. Doesn't mean I won't be a freak tomorrow when I have to drive to my appointment, but I think I'm going to be better.
Okay, we're running short on time here, but
No, I'm listening to us and going through this now. Even though I did actually get help from Nick doing the 4Y technique,
I ruined the rest of our show, though.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. But thank you for listening. This was really for educational purposes. So if you want to contact us, I can't even say it. What's our email?
I actually forget the email that you usually...
Life. That's it. Thebrighterlife@mail.com.
So you can
contact us with any comments about any of our shows, any comments about this show in particular, and any questions that you have about either of the techniques that we went over today. And just thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you listening to our show. And God bless.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Holy shit. That was scary.